Rebecca, and welcome to The Interviewer. In this series, I talk to artists, campaigners, men and women of influence, musicians, performers, sportsmen and women, politicians, businessmen and women, and anyone who shapes the fabric of our society. Today is the second show of Advent here on The Interviewer, and these shows are all focused on getting you in the right Christmas mood, or not. I have four brilliant guests on The Interviewer in this series who've been sharing their thoughts and opinions on the holiday season, and a few funny stories, no doubt, and much more. The reason I have the giggles when I was announcing the guests on the show is because number two in line for this Christmas series is actor, comedian, businessman, radio DJ, and trouble condensed, Mr. Kevin Naudy.
Hi, Trudy.
You have me got the giggles there.
No, I got you the giggles. Yeah, right.
I try really hard.
It's a common factor. The worst is when you're not doing anything and the giggles still happen. That's it. That's the worst.
That's it. But I've never ever giggled in the intro. The intro is always dead.
It's true.
I was looking at you wiggling your foot.
Because you said radio. I'm no longer on the radio. Sorry.
I know you're not.
But I meant like over what I've done. That's why you're doing the interview and I'm not.
Exactly. That's why you're on that side.
I'm the interviewee. That's what it counts to. I'm the interviewee, right?
You're the interview bitch.
No, Adam, you just told me I can't say certain because it's on campus. Why would you then call me the interview bitch?
It's not a rude word. Listen, Kevin. Before we go into Christmas, what have you been up to? Because you just mentioned you're not on radio at the moment, but you are still a comedian. You're still quite funny.
Thanks. What have I been up to? Quite a lot. Actually, it's been quite an overwhelming period, but a lot of things planned because obviously during COVID, you know, shows like last year, I kind of adapted to what could be done. In fact, I have a bone to pick with many artists, Trude. Well, not a bone to pick in a bad, and it's in a positive thing. I was saying, fine, I have a platform that I can say this. A lot of complaints of this and that's closed and we can't do this and we can't do that. You can adapt and perform according to what you can perform to. You know what I mean? So, I just put it out there.
Thanks for monopolizing the podcast, the interviewer, and just going out with your own public message.
Because, you know, what have I been up to? And I said, you know, although I would have liked to do like a special, because that was my next big thing, is my biggest special yet. And obviously I had to push that forward. When you go, you say push forward.
Back. You push it back. You push it back.
It's been a long day.
Okay. I have a feeling it's going to be a long show.
Okay. To push it back. And so in the meantime, thankfully, I got cast in a TV series, which is going to be launched in October 2022.
Oh, that's wow.
Pretty cool. Because as you know, film, ironically...
But where is this going to be aired?
It's producers of Sharpshoot Media, which I can't... I mean, they're of La Russa and Strada Strett, and they're fantastic people. And there's going to be on TVM, so it's like a...
Okay, so pretty awesome. Can you tell us what it's about?
Yes. No. I thought I could. I just flagged for half a second. No. No, like, it's called... No, I don't know. No.
You don't know what it's called?
Sure. I know what it's called. I can't tell you. I think I can tell you, but I'm not sure. So
okay, tell you what we do. You tell me... And before this goes out on air...
No, I think I can't
let
tell
me
you.
Know.
It's Diamanti. It's going to be called. That's about it, I can tell you.
Okay, so what do you play?
I play... I can't know. Truth. No. It's too early. I can't. But it's really cool because it's Lupin feel and...
You play a butler, don't you?
No, I don't play a butler. I play the eldest of the four guys.
I got it out of you.
I played the eldest of four very close friends, basically.
Well, listen, can you come back onto The Interviewer when you're ready to do that? Listen,
sure.
I would love to hear more about that. But in the meantime, of course, this show is all about Christmas because you are number two in the four show lineup for the Advent. The Interviewer does Advent.
Did it go in order of preference, like number one is more important than me? I'm just asking just for a friend.
Yeah.
Just a friend. No, I'm glad. I'm okay. No, the fact that you told me yes, it's good. I know my place. Who was number one?
That was Tez.
Oh, Tez, I'm so
it's
pretty.
Hang on a second. It's like an advent calendar. I'm opening...
Ah, so it gets better, so I should be number four.
Oh, my word. You know when you're starting to regret getting a guest on the show? I do want to talk about Christmas, though. So I, first of all, before we establish any other questions relating to Christmas, I have to ask you, are you a Christmas fan? Are you not fussed? Or are you Call Me Back in January?
I love the feel of family with Christmas that comes with it. I don't like the commercial side of it, obviously. I don't know who, I mean, who does, I guess, one, can afford it. And then so it's all like, yahoo! I'm like, no. I think people make an extra effort to be nice.
Okay, so you're a Christmas fan. This is a good thing because it could have been a very short show if you weren't a Christmas fan.
No, no, of course I am.
Okay, well, I happened to have walked past your house today and I saw that you had some sort of Advent-y thing up in your, what I'm assuming, front room.
Well, you were looking in my room?
Yeah.
How?
Because you had the window open.
Yes, okay, fair enough. I think I need to speak to my wife. Because
I'm right, though. There is an Advent-y type thing, right?
Yes, there is.
My question was going to be a real crucial question. When does the tree go up in the Naldi house? But you've already got your Advent boxy thing.
Yeah,
what is that?
That's
a Jesus thing,
yeah,
right?
It's for the kids.
Okay.
The
tree is for the adults?
No,
what is that?
Look, I think the tree is it's a decorative piece. So
when does it go up, though?
Usually, I like doing it in the first week of December. Anything before anyone hearing this who puts out their tree, I have no I do judge, actually. I can't say I don't, because I do. I definitely do. But I have my best friends who do it, and I'm like, what are you doing? Because it gives color and lights to the house. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I think first weekish of December is a good time to put up.
Okay.
And then remove it. For example, I prefer leaving it longer than putting it up much before. I don't know if you know what I mean.
But how far would you leave your Christmas tree?
I'd leave it, like, all January. I would leave it for sure.
What?
Because it keeps you in the spirit. It's January.
Kevin, that's procrastinating. That's because you're too lazy to take the tree down. Nobody wants to take the tree down.
But I'll put a justification to it, so.
What the heck? Christmas is over, my friend. Christmas is over. Just go back to what I saw in your front room. Hi, yeah. To your wife. This is a massive doll's house, Advent, crib style thing.
No, but because my eldest daughter, Kate, who is extremely, extremely playful in the sense she's so adventurous and she'll create. So she has this dollhouse, but any excuse to pimp it up, if you allow me that. Whatever it is, it could be, whatever it is, I swear to you, if it's Christmas, then the dollhouse becomes this freaking crib and everything turns into Christmas related things, lights and, but it's amazing because, you know, it's money well spent, I guess. But like, she has like 7, 8 OMG dolls or whatever. There's big
No,
asses.
Sorry, what is that?
There are these new style dolls with like Nicki Minaj asses and.
You serious? What happened to Barbie and Cindy? No,
you know
what
about time they brought in the asses, truth, okay? Enough with the slims. No, no, come on, man.
What are these things? They're like real, actual women-y style dolls.
They have big hips and like they're all this.
Oh my word, have you not seen this?
They're beautiful. They all have, anyway, they're very detailed. That's what I can tell. Not the rest of the equation.
They all look like Nicki Minaj.
No, well, but they're sweet. But like, every like birthday or whatever, she asks for one of those kind of thing. But she plays with it so much. So I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not to waste. It's not because they're in fashion. Let's get that. And then she just dumps in there. She just constantly plays
with them. No, that's super cool.
Yes,
I had Cindy dolls when I was a kid.
Yes, I remember. No, my sister. That didn't come out right.
Kevin, how do you remember that I had Cindy dolls?
Not you.
What?
I remember the
what
Cindy
is
dolls.
That? That's insane. But I had a thing about my Cindy dolls because I was way ahead of my time. So when I was about 6, I went around cutting all the hair off. So they had haircuts about your length, as
they
short
don't grow
as you.
Back, just to let you know.
No. I worked that out. And then I would like, you know, pimp up their clothes. You're talking about pimping up. I would do like, you know, ripped jeans before ripped jeans were cool. And black hair, you know, I had a beautiful blonde Cindy
doll.
You dye it. I dye it.
You're
and then
joking.
Put blue streaks in and everything. I was
there
way ahead of my time, I'm telling you. Anyway, I'm glad that we discussed that and went down that road of Nicki Minaj dolls. Earliest memory of Christmas, Kevin Naldi.
I'd say there's something about the Christmas tree at my mum's place that, number one, never changed.
It was up all year. She never took it down.
No, as in,
that's where you get it from. Jeez, you're like, no, if my mum could do it, she could leave it up all year. I'm doing it.
It's that.
Your mum's a right procrastinator.
She actually does leave it up quite a lot. But she had this, like, it was like a spot, you know, a spot in the house, like there's this living area part where there's a phone, I still remember. Back then we had phones, Drew, as you well know. But anyone listening to this, like, phone? Phone? Like there was a place for a phone? Anyway, yes, there was a table, a chair, and everything. It just takes me back. The furthest I could go back is that corner, because the tree remained the same baubles, the same everything.
Of course.
And they're just, you know, the classic ones, you know, like the mom always says the classic ones, the classic, what do you call the frilly one, the tinsel thing.
Tinsel, right? Yeah.
Just everything's just the classic, you know, the classic one. The classic.
Does nobody
Christmas
have tinsel on the tree anymore?
It's, no, I actually know. I mean, I don't. We have the, look at us, we're so modern. You know what I mean?
No,
like just, you know, the fairy light. No, it's nice, our Christmas tree, actually.
Okay, fair
enough. I'll send you a photo when I have it up.
Thank you very much indeed. I love the fact that you're justifying your Christmas tree. Okay, so that's your earliest memory of Christmas. I think you've already answered this question in the opening statement, because I was going to ask you, what is for you the meaning of Christmas? Is it family? Is it faith? Is it presents? Is it food? Tez was all about the food.
I get her, but I would boil it about, not only family, just everything calms down during that period. And unfortunately, it's only during that period, so maybe that's why we see it so nice when it comes, because you make an extra effort. I mean, not me, I'm saying society as a whole. I'm always trying to be nice myself, but I think Christmas just gives that warm feeling. I think that's what my thought about Christmas would be.
I love that. The answer to that is Kevin's warm feeling.
Yeah.
What is your early...
Oh, sorry. You see what happened there? I was going on a serious note and then I still turned it around. I don't know why I did it.
It was either
so
going to be you or me, Kevin. I started talking about your warm feeling and I'm thinking, stay away from that. Oh, man.
Okay, sorry.
So who cooks in your house and who hosts in your house?
If we host, most probably it's my wife. But I mean, I know how to cook quite well, so.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I made the best potatoes, Trude. Oh, my potatoes, truly. No, I mean like woo-hoo. Like you'll have potatoes and then you'll have, you'll have Kevin's potatoes.
What kind of potatoes are we talking about here?
In the oven. What do you mean?
Are we talking about roast potatoes? Roast potatoes. Okay, tell me how you roast your potatoes.
I'm not going to tell you how I roast my potatoes.
Okay, well, listen, I had an argument about this the other day, because I'm English, therefore, ergo, we own roast potatoes and we cook them better than anybody else on the planet.
Wait, what is roast or baked? I'm not sure, actually.
Roast is where you parboil them.
No. Okay.
But, hear me out. You parboil them. Parboil them. You fluff them up in a little colander, right? Then you put them into a pan that's been in the oven with butter and oil.
Oh, the typical Sunday roast beef potato with like oil, with the skin and all, like. That's nice.
No skin.
Okay. No, I made them baked potatoes.
Okay, baked potatoes. Okay, can I just...
when it comes all crispy, like nearly with that crunch.
In the skin.
Oh, yeah. No skin.
Kevin, baked potatoes have skin.
Then it's roast. What I do is roast. Dude, look, I never labeled my potatoes. I just said they come good. They go in the oven, they're with oil and onions. So don't start questioning if it's roast.
I really wanted to talk to you about Christmas food, but I feel like we could be
for
weeks.
Go, I promise. Okay.
So you're talking about your roast potatoes.
They're roast.
And how do you make them? So I can just check on this.
So I cut them very small, first of all. That's a trick.
How small?
Cubes, little cubes, like that.
That's not a roast potato. This is Kevin Naudi's weird potatoes for Christmas.
I don't know what you call it.
Go on. You cut them up
like
really small.
Cutting like small cubes.
Skins or no skins?
No skin.
So not baked.
First, the trick is in the onions. I believe at least. So I flood. I put oil in the dish, right, beforehand. Salt and pepper, quite a lot. And then onions, nicely chopped. But like long, I shouldn't go on MasterChef, right?
Can I just say, this is not a career that's waiting for you.
Okay, totally. Listen.
There are other careers.
So the onions are sliced and I place them and I literally wash them in the oil, kind of. You know what I mean? Like when you soak them, kind of thing. A bit more salt and pepper, then rosemary. A bit. And then I put the potatoes, but I mush it all, like I rinse, I make sure they're completely covered in the oil and the onions and everything. In the oven for 30-ish minutes, and then I bring them out, put water on them, First 20 minutes, also I put foil over it. So they bake really slowly. See, I used the word bake. I think they're baked potatoes.
No, I'm going to just say that, Kevin, we spent a good portion of this podcast talking about your potatoes,
yes.
Which are tiny. Your potatoes are tiny. And I'm just going to tell you now, I've never heard of this recipe that you're talking
about.
That's why they're
great.
Is not baked, and it is not roast.
It's in the oven.
Talk to me about Christmas Day. Christmas Day food. What is the food that you would traditionally eat on
cannelloni.
Christmas Day?
My mom's cannelloni. But I'm telling you, when I said cannelloni, like from the Bronx. Hey, the cannelloni.
See, I'm just going to tell you, every time somebody says cannelloni, right, I think of those sort of sweet rolls that
those
are filled
are
with cream. Yes, you know how confusing it has been for somebody who's always gone,
I'm sorry,
you have what as a starter on Christmas Day? You're eating desserts with cream on Christmas.
You start with cream? What's wrong with you?
And followed by Kevin Naldi's potatoes that nobody knows what they are.
No, my mom makes this, I've had other cannelloni, but hers are just... Yep.
So we've done the food, or at least...
We tried.
We tried to have that part of the conversation. Best Christmas memory. We talked about your earliest Christmas memory. What's your best Christmas memory?
To be honest, it's not one specific. It's a memory of Christmas that I used to have when the stocking used to come at the bottom of my bed kind of thing. That was a very nice memory. But there's no specific, because we've had many fun episodes or classic Christmas lunches or get-togethers or going abroad. There was a one time when we went abroad. So that was pretty awesome. But I think there's that memory of, because I was just nostalgic growing up. So, and then you get to that age when you know it's... How was the youngest age listening to this podcast?
I have no idea.
Okay. So I still believe in Santa. But at some point, you know what I mean. So at some point...
No, we have firmly established in the last show.
Okay.
Because Tez decided at 9 years old, Father Christmas's writing was way too similar to her mum's.
That's how she got it?
That's how she started.
No, I got it because I found something kind of thing beforehand that I had wished for, if you know what I mean.
No, you have to explain this to me. So because my next question is...
That's when I understood.
My next question is... You talked about your fondest memory being...
I hope kids don't listen to this podcast.
Of course they don't.
Ah, okay, then it's fine.
I'll put out a, rating.
Just don't. No, I'd wish for a wrestling ring. That's when it started. A wrestling of WWF. I'm still a fanatic of wrestling. And I found it behind the curtain, which, by the way, I know that my father put it there just to say, you know what, time up. Let's let him find it so he knows.
Okay, Kevin,
he knows it doesn't exist.
Kevin, how old were you? Please don't tell me you were 13.
13. No! Why? How did you know, first of all? Did you ask my wife? You asked Jean, no?
No, I took a guess.
12-ish, 13, I think I was.
Are you serious?
I never stopped believing. And then there's Christmas Chronicles, the film, which is beautiful. And he says, it's such a beautiful saying, seeing is not believing, believing is seeing. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful, isn't that what it's all about? Think about it. So I just didn't stop believing because I just used to love that idea of it happening. I mean, I knew subconsciously there isn't.
So you were 13 years old when you stopped believing in the Christmas Father?
Why are you saying Christmas Father? What are you saying? It's from the Christmas truth. You're doing it on purpose, right? Because I'm going to leave the other roots.
No, it's just...
Christmas.
I've never heard anyone call Father Christmas Father until I came to Malta. So you're 13 years old, you still believe in the Christmas Father.
Father Christmas truth.
What did your friends think? Did you not get beaten up?
As if truth. Have we met before, Truth? What's the matter?
That's why I was asking you.
on jokes aside, you mentioned something really nice. The fact that you did mention it as a joke. But I always try and give this message to my kids. When you embrace something, even if it's embarrassing, you can't be bullied by it. Forget it. How could I be bullied by something that I don't care if I believe in it? You know what I'm trying to say? I would go to school. I don't care. My friend said, "You're serious?" Yeah, yes. And then they just don't know what to do. You're actually serious about it. yep. And you leave them with nothing. You know what I mean? So when you try and battle it, that's when I think the teasing or what have you called.
So do your kids still believe in Father Christmas?
100%. And if you hear me, Kate, I promise he exists. What?
And you call him Father Christmas, Christmas Father or Santa?
Father Christmas. And Santa sometimes as well, actually, but Father Christmas mainly. And she believes in it. Like, we're going to Lapland, hopefully. That's when I just say, obviously, I have nothing left in the bank. That's when it's done. That's when the execution comes down on my money. Because it's not a cheap holiday, obviously.
So, yeah. I can see you walking around Lapland with your kids going,
remember that?
Be grateful. For this, be grateful. For that, be grateful. See that? Let's be grateful. Do not forget this. That over there, see, that's a reindeer. You'll remember this for the rest of your life.
You're never going to see another. Never. That's the only reindeer you're ever going to see. So look at it. Let's wait.
This is your one time in your life. Darn it. Never again will you see a reindeer.
I don't even know if they do that, actually. But I think they do.
All right, listen. We've talked about your memories, but we're now going to bring it right up to date. What do you love? More of a serious question. What do you love and hate most about Christmas? You mentioned before about the commercialism.
I detest anything that commercializes itself. Anything, be it music, be it the performing arts, just anything. I hate anything that sells out, if that's the word to use, when you whore yourself out, basically. I just find the raw happiness, sometimes you kind of feel it's not really there, you know? Amongst society, so to say. And I'm very much into a happy society kind of thing. That's why I do what I do, I guess.
But isn't that because everybody is desperately seeking something to escape to?
I guess so. But it mainly comes from the media world in the sense of what's put out there. And just everything you see is like buy, spend. And brainwashing the kids to... Let's just say I failed on different levels as a parent, which hopefully I didn't. But one A I know I succeeded so well in is just telling my kids that let it go. The thought of just wanting everything. And that's what Christmas puts out. Just more.
You reminded me of an interview I had, must be about 9 months ago now, with René Rossignol, who was saying exactly the same thing about his kids. He wanted to take his kids out to experience the outdoors. He doesn't want to buy them big, expensive presents. He wants them to live and experience life.
To add on to, because it's similar, not similar, exactly what you're saying, that's René, who I'd say hi to right now. Is that another area, apart from the non-spoiled factor, let's put it that way, or the non-believing in the media what's put out there, is that the mobile thingy, for example, that Kate's 9 and she maybe, first of all, she doesn't have one. She doesn't look for it in the sense of she doesn't look out for it. If we're out with friends and she's the only kid, maybe just then. But still, what I'll do is if I'm out and she's with a kid, which she's the only kid, for example, or with my her younger sister, I'll make time for them as well, because if they're out with me, they're out with me. I won't do the, you know what, sit down, here's my mobile, and take it easy kind of thing. I can't do that.
But I go out for dinner, and we'll come back to Christmas in a second, but I go out for dinner and I see parents, I can understand why they do it. And as I said, I'm not a parent, so I'm not going to judge. But there does seem to be this culture of a whole family sitting at the table, all on mobile phones. Or tablets.
I'm not going to sit here and try and preach or say what's right or what's wrong. It's because it's only obvious that it's wrong. You know what I mean? I don't need to say it. But they do because they can, because it's there. You know what I mean? It's there. But then it comes, I don't know what it is. It makes me sick thinking of it.
Okay, your quirky Christmas tradition. Everybody has one. What's your quirky Christmas tradition? What's the thing that's like, yeah?
A quirky tradition would be, I guess...
Please don't tell me you still write a letter to Father Christmas.
I help Kate write it, as in she writes her letter, for sure.
Okay.
What we do is, but that's not quirky as such, I write one back, but cleverly with a different font and everything, and she receives the letter
you
back.
You choose a different font?
Of course. And, but I think...
Hang on a second. When did Father Christmas get a typewriter or a laptop?
It's North Pole, woman. Things have changed.
What's wrong with the traditional handwriting?
No, but I use this handwriting font on the computer. You don't question my methods.
Sorry.
I don't know if it's quirky, but we just, on the eve, we always have like one present we can open. That's about it. That's, I think, I don't think it's quirky as such, but that's the most
it's
I
It's your tradition,
tell you.
Though.
Yeah.
And is it, I mean, I think I've heard this from other people, and certainly we did that at home, but it had to be the smallest present that you could find. It had to be an insignificant present.
No, what we do is you choose, you know what I mean? But like the big one doesn't mean it's like the best one. You know what I'm trying to get to? Because it could be a big box with, I don't know, a standard toy, but a small one could be like a remote, whatever. So what we do is, you know, there are the presents and we go pick one. And then like Kate or Laura would go, I like that one. And that's the person they chose. But then there's always the main one which you say like, no, like that's
exactly
out of bounds. And you have the little ones. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you take your pick.
Let me ask you about your stockings.
I just love the stocking. I swear to you, Trudy, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, because it's beautiful. And it's just so sweet. Wait, my stockings in what sense? We're talking about Christmas, right? Because I don't have any other stockings. I think I don't.
You got a little bit too excited about stockings, my friend. Yeah, you took this to a whole different level.
It's exciting. It's Christmas.
That's not what your face said. Your stockings, my friend. We had in the UK, and certainly my family, we had very traditional items that would go into the stocking. My mother did used to put a piece of coal in there.
Why? If you ain't good?
Nobody ever worked it out. Tangerines, there would always be tangerines in there.
As well?
Yes. And there would also be chocolate coins, you know, the chocolate.
Yeah, all right.
You know the really expensive way to deliver chocolate? You put it in a individually wrapped gold coin foil. Incredibly expensive. Way, way, way more expensive than the weight of the chocolate should.
As long as they look nice.
And I always then had yogurt-coated raisins when I got into my teens. Don't know. So you're doing that, but did you always have something particular?
Yes.
What did you have? What was your stocking
gums
tradition?
Were great, not raisins. Gums, like sweets. That was growing up, it was like a standard. Like I would go for those first rather than the anything other little toys. But we had a standard, there were the sweets at the bottom kind of thing, the gums. And then we had the army men. Remember the army men, like of Toy Story, the ones that stand on that. The army men, they were like the buckets. You get like a lot of army men. You know which ones they are. Come on, true. They're like green and whatever, true. Those would be every year kind of thing. Like those, I know I'm going to get a set of those. Once I got boxing gloves, that was cool. How cool was that?
You still have, hang on a second, you have boxing gloves in your stocking?
Yes.
How big was the stocking?
It was good. It was nice.
How big was the stocking?
It was big. That's why I told you I used to love it. I told you. You told me one of my fondest memories.
Was it an
memories.
Actual stocking or was it a pillowcase?
No. It was a stocking. Like a stocking at the bottom of the bed. That's why I love the stocking, because it was a generous, cheap stocking, I call it.
From Santa?
From Santa.
He's a bit of a tight ass. Santa used to bring me tangerines and a piece of coal.
My mum's not hearing this either, right? I think I can have no one of my family and relatives hear the podcast. I'm not even going to tell anyone. When it's out, I'm like, no, don't listen. It's not the case.
Ironically, you and Tez as well. Tez insulted her entire mum's cooking.
No!
Oh, my word, yes.
Tez, why?
Yeah, listen to last week's show, Kevin. I'm going to close this edition of the Advent Interviewer.
Okay.
With one last question. If you had a Christmas message, what would it be? If you were the queen.
Ooh. Sorry, I had the queen turned on. Ooh. I don't know why the queen.
Because that's what she does, is she opens her Christmas message on Christmas Day from Buckingham Palace. Very first thing she says is, ooh,
ooh, ooh, okay. You listen here. Sorry, no, I don't know. I was going to keep on going. Thank God I stopped. If I have just a Christmas message, what would it be? Just chill the hell out, everybody.
I love that. We can leave that right where that is.
Just chill it out, man. Everybody just needs to chill. That's my message, honestly.
I like it, Kevin Naldi. Thank you so much for being on the Advent Interviewer. I look forward to seeing you next year you can actually reveal. Oh no, you already did what the TV show is.
I did not,
Trudy.
I did not. I think I have a contract. I can't. No, I can't. But I'll let you know more. It was great.
To listen to this edition of The Interviewer again or other exciting interviews, head towards Spotify or SoundCloud and search for The Interviewer.
The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, speciality supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.